No, my comments were made on my own behalf and my own beliefs. And my position in life, that I particularly don't need organized religion, but I don't condemn anyone that does, that obviously they play an important role, and I certainly don't want to offend or alienate them, because I certainly need them in our big plan of what we talked about. They will be very much a focus point of it, of making people self-sufficient and making people be the citizens that we hope that we'll all become here in the state of Minnesota.
Have you thought about an experience
Well, I talked about an experience that happened. Actually, it was in the Philippines, where a good friend of mine, I walked in one day, and it was very much a poverty-stricken area, and I walked into my friend, and he was stuffing a large amount of money into an envelope. And I asked him what that was for, and he said, "Well, my nephew's being baptized." And I said, "So why the money?" And he said, "Well, if you don't pay, you don't get baptized." And I said, "Well, I recollect John doing it in the river for free. You know, that there, you know, he didn't charge anyone, and that anyone who desires to have that done can have it done for nothing." And I was told, "No, it doesn't work that way. If you don't pay, it doesn't happen." And I just saw at that point in my life, in this particular poverty-stricken area, that the organized religion was very wealthy and the people were very poor. And so it made an impression on me that they somehow were being led to believe they could buy their way.
Governor, do you regret anything you said in this Playboy interview?
No, because in light of that it's Playboy you're doing it for, you're supposed to be provocative. I know now I'll never do an interview for a wrestling magazine. No, I'll never do one for a wrestling magazine, because if I get in my wrestling mode, whew, there's no telling what y'all will do to me.
Governor, are you surprised, though, by how your words carry this much weight now?
Yes.
And yeah. Especially when you're dealing with religion, this is the line that a lot of folks...
I separate church and state, and I will always be honest, and I think that's my problem. See, the career politician won't be honest. When the career politician gets asked a question, they'll give the answer they're supposed to. They'll give the answer that's politically correct. They'll give the answer that, you know, that you need to give to get reelected. That's not me. I will be honest, and if so doing, if my honesty causes me problems, it's the only thing I can be, and it's the only thing I've ever been. So I will give honest answers, not necessarily politically correct answers.
Governor, I was talking to the chairman of the Reform Party, Chris Burdick, who said that he believed that you misused your celebrity for personal gain, whereas you could use celebrity for the common good that you don't. That was his position. He thinks this interview is a campaign.
Well, Mr. Verney's certainly entitled to his opinion. Yeah, we all have one, don't we? I have nothing to say, you know. I have nothing. I mean, if that's the way he feels, that's the way he feels. No, I'm not, because you know, they told me when I made the comments during the election, when I talked about prostitution and drugs, they all had leaders of the Reform Party said, "Now I'll never win the election," and I proved them wrong. Yeah, because again, it was a case of honesty, and I'm going to be honest again. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to necessarily be politically correct, and I certainly, you know, I'm, and really, my feeling on the religious end is that I think all the religious leaders will forgive me, because I think that's what religion's about. Is forgiving. I mean, we all make mistakes. We're all on this planet, and none of us are perfect. I don't think any of us will raise our hands and say that we are. And I think that that anyone involved and is sincere in religion will say that certainly I would forgive the governor for anything he'd say. You know, and we're all going to make, you know, say things that will offend someone, but they're not meant that way.
Governor, some of the people are calling you a bigot today. What's your response to that?
Well, if the truth makes you a bigot, how am I a bigot? Just because, let me ask you, in what context am I a bigot?
I think this is from the Archdiocese of New York. I saw that quote.
that they called me a bigot, that I had an impression of my life and I saw things and I made a determination and a belief. I don't think I'm a bigot because I simply separate church and state. I have my own beliefs of what I believe in, and I adhere to those beliefs. And as I said in the article, I live by the golden rule: treat others as you would want them to treat you. And I guess I'd say that I haven't caused any wars.
Are religious people being punished?
No. Or if they are, they seek religion that makes them better people. So if they are weak-minded, it helps them.
Are you concerned that...
And again, I haven't started any wars as religion.
You're saying religion?
No, I'm not saying anything. I asked a question. I said, I haven't started any wars throughout time. Has religion...
No,
no, because as I said, that none of us are you know, no. I don't think so, because this, all of this today has nothing to do with how I govern the state of Minnesota. All of this today, again, is Jesse Ventura, the person and personal. It has nothing to do with any decisions that I make, with anything that I've done in that office back there, or anything we've accomplished today with the state of Minnesota moving forward. It has nothing to do with that at all. This is just one interview that I did of many that I do. As I said, I'll never do a wrestling interview because, excuse me, there's that Diet Coke again, because I know that if I got into my wrestling persona and did an interview, you know, in a wrestling magazine, I don't know what would become of that one. Oh, Eric, I can honestly tell you I don't plan any of it. I can honestly look at all of you and ask you if you're that good a planner. You know, I would enjoy a thank you from all of you in the media. Because I would enjoy a thank you. You're welcome. Because I do keep things up for you and make your life fun and interesting. So I appreciate that you said thank you. I really do. It's very heartfelt and all that. What was?
Do you apologize, or do you owe anyone an apology for anything you said in that article?
I don't know. I'm not going to. I did the article and I said what I said in it, and if things are taken out of context or if people read what they say, you know, when you read something, everyone's going to read it different. Everyone that reads something reads it different. And I know what I mean by what I say, and if people don't understand it, then I'm not going to apologize for it, no. And again, it was, I didn't like the headline today in the Star Tribune that said I defended Taylor. I did not. I said that I don't condone the behavior, but I understand why it happened. I understand how it could happen. And I'm probably one of the few in this room that can. You know, but I don't condone it, but I do understand it. Eric, I had a great interview with you, and now you're hogging it from these people here. You know, I already gave you a one-on-one. Look, and they like that.
The much about nothing is your imposition on what they were.
Right. When I said the statement that it's much ado about nothing, I was putting myself in the position of the perpetrators of Tailhook. I was not putting myself of me, Jesse Ventura, saying this is much ado about nothing. I was saying that they would view that. These are Frankensteins that we create. And they don't have an on and off switch. And these guys that are trained to do what they do, which is the ultimate, they're trained to kill people. There's no question about it. They could be asked to do that, and they cannot hesitate. They cannot think and say, well, do I really want to? No, they can't. And there's not an on and off switch with them. You can't send them out to do what they do and when they get home, flip a switch on them and turn them off. So what I was doing was reacting, having been in that situation for 4 years of my life of being trained that way. That I know that that's why when I say I understand how it happened, I didn't condone it. Huh? I got out of it. Yeah, but you can imagine many of these people do it for 10, 15, and 20 years. I did it for only four. And so,
victims of that sexual assault and terror.
What would I say to the victims? That it was tragic. That they were, you know, that it was tragic that it happened. It's the old classic case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, the same as you can be a victim of many things. You can be a victim being in the wrong place at the wrong time every day in life. It's not necessarily something that can be avoided. You know, and it was bad behavior. There's no doubt about it. But as I said, I don't condone it. I simply understand how it can happen. You know, when you put 10, 15, 20, 30 of these people in a room and start serving alcohol, yeah, bad situations can arise from it.
It seems to be, this may be a good question, but it seems you're big on personal responsibility, mm-hmm. yet you're kind of deflating the responsibility that those people share.
No, I'm not. I very clearly said I don't condone it, I understand it. There's a big difference. I simply understand what happened and how it could.
I'm not prosecuted for that.
Sure. They were court-martialed for it as well. They should have been. But all I'm saying in the article is that I understood how it can happen because I know the intensity of the training. I know that you know these people are put and trained, you know, to do a specific thing that many others can't. That's why they're very special in what they do. It goes back, if you want to, a little bit. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Yet you question the very freedom which I provide for you. Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men. And I'll say to you, no, you're all chuckling, but I'll say to you, to give you an example, and I want those that I gave the example to in the other room to keep quiet now. Who's the villain in that film? Is Colonel Jessup, Jack Nicholson, the villain? Is he the villain? Did you see the film?
Yeah.
All right, who's the villain? Is he the villain?
No, he's not.
Why? Who is then?
For a long time.
Who is?
The doctor.
Exactly. Exactly. The doctor is the villain. And that's the point. If you get, you have to understand that not everyone, and someone told you the answer. And someone probably heard me tell them the answer.
Uh-huh.
Did they pay for it? No. I received nothing for it.
Governor, you maybe want to address the comment that was that the majority leader asked about the Mel Brooks.
The other thing that seems to be under criticism was the comment of, you know, what's the best part of the job? And I said, it's good to be king. Well, for those of you that don't know, that's a line from Mel Brooks's History of the World Part 2. It's a comedy film that on certain portions of the film, Mel turns to the camera and says, it's good to be the king. Well, that's kind of an inner office joke we have around here, and it stems from, you know, and I'm sitting here having to defend this. It's silly. It's a, you know, the problem was I didn't sit and say, that's a joke, that's a joke, that's a joke. Which is my policy that I have to do now, is say it's a joke, because no one gets it. My humor is that intimate, or whatever term that the general public can't get it. Where that stemmed from, and why I laughingly, and I guess he didn't write in there, laugh, you know, which is the problem with print media, is that 2 days after my swearing in, I had a group of my closest Southside friends at the residence for dinner, and we were all kind of looking around at the beautiful governor's residence, and we were, you know, being cooked by having food prepared by two of the greatest chefs in the world and being served to us. And one of my friends turned to me and said, "It's good to be the king." And another one of my friends laughed and said, "It's good to be friends with the king." And you know, and it was in straight reference to the Mel Brooks movie, you know, that these, and my, you know, because I come from fairly humble beginnings. And there was none of my friends that ever dreamed we'd be sitting in the residence eating dinner, being served by, you know, being prepared by two of the greatest chefs in the world and being served to us in the manner we were. And so that's where that all stemmed from. And it was a joke. But again, I guess I'm learning as governor, you're not allowed to joke. Well, get ready. I'm not going to change who I am, and I'm going to continue to joke and be who I am and be honest speaking with myself.
Thanks.
Governor Ventura speaking at a news conference late this afternoon at the Capitol regarding his interview with Playboy magazine.